scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 1, 8 through 15. Romans 1, 8 through 15. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as he is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also.
Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today. Visitors and members alike, we're glad you're all here. There are three things that I would like to specifically point out here in this text, in Romans 1, 8 through 15. And that is that the Roman Church of Christ, that their faith was known, first of all, that prayers were made often beyond between the churches of Christ, and that there was preaching everywhere being done. So we need to have this same thing happening with us as the Berryville Church of Christ. We need to have our faith known throughout the whole world that we live in. We need to have prayers being made for each other as brethren. We need to have prayers being made for other congregations of the Lord's church. We need to have preaching, teaching, being done everywhere. The Roman Church of Christ was a great example that Paul is saying their faith was known. How do you get your faith known? Well, that's some things we're going to talk about here in this lesson. But church, is our faith truly spoken of throughout the world that we live in? Do people know us as the true people of God? Or do they just know us as another denomination? What do people know Berryville Church of Christ as in this area? Do they know them as just another men pleaser? Do they know them as the people who follow the Word of God to the T? Who do they know us as? What is the Church of Christ to the world around us? What is it to men? So our faith should be known. How often do we pray for our spiritual family? How often do we preach and teach the people around us? Do we teach and preach to our children? Teach and preach to our family? How often do we make our faith known? The Roman Church of Christ was commended by Paul the Apostle because they did these things. And the Apostle Paul also himself is known to have done these things. His faith was known. Prayers were made often. He would do that. He would preach everywhere. These are great, great things that God does recognize among Christians. Christians, we should be definitely acting these things. So in Romans 1:8 there, we'll take this text kind of piece by piece. But I want you to understand fully what it's saying. And so we're going to start there in verse 8 once again. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So once again, emphasis that their faith is actually spoken of throughout the whole world. What does that mean? Well, that means that throughout the entire known world that they were living in, Now, I studied this when I was back in preaching school quite a bit. And this Roman Church of Christ actually is commended because they were most likely known throughout the world that they were living in. It could be throughout the known world, throughout the whole region of the expansion of the Roman Empire. Could be that. And if that's the case, then praise God for that. It could be that they were just known in their immediate area. But Christians, who are we supposed to reach out to? Just the immediate area, just our family, or to everyone? To everyone. So the Roman Church of Christ is being commended for something amazing here. That their faith, their religion, their belief is known throughout the world. Whatever that exactly is, Paul is commending them nonetheless that their faith is known among men. Is our faith known, Christians? Are we known among men? What we believe, God's truth, is that known among men? Or is our faith hidden among men? The church has been in hiding for a long time. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean? For 2,000 years, 1900 really, since Jesus left, since the apostles left, since the last people stood up against the Roman emperors, since they stood up against the Catholics who were killing them, since they stood up against all these different denominations who were battling, trying to be the biggest one. If you know your church history, I encourage you, if you want to take a class on that, we will have it. But church history is an amazing, amazing subject because it goes over 0 AD all the way to now. And all these denominations were fighting. They were all fighting for dominance in religion, all wanting to be the one to ultimately get everyone, to get all the people in it. And there was one religion among all of those denominations fighting and killing each other, executing each other for not believing each other. One select group of people called the Church of Christ. And that Church of Christ is the true Church of God, was truly the people of God. And they were hidden among all of that chaos, among all of that calamity. There were some that stood up, against Roman emperors, against kings, against queens, against kings of England. There were some that spoke the gospel towards even these people who were brave enough to do that and lose their lives for it. Are we that brave? Brethren, what I'm asking you this morning is, what are you willing to give up for Christ? What did Jesus say you have to be willing to give up? All for His name's sake. All for His name's sake. Now let's ask ourselves how much we give for His name's sake. If He wants us to give all for His name's sake, for Christ, for God, for His kingdom, how much do we give on a daily basis? According to what He said. Do we give just a couple hours in a week? Do we give nothing to God? What do we give to God as He's given to us? Some things to think about. But is our faith known? Is our faith known? Or are we hiding, as people mostly have done throughout these last 1,000 years, that these last almost 2,000 years? Is the Church of Christ hidden? Or would we take a stand if it came to that? Christians, we ought to obey God rather than man, no matter what happens. So is our faith known? Questions for us each to ask our hearts. The Greek word for faith here, you might know it. It is pistis. And this word pistis goes along with a work. It goes along with an action. Now this is a side note lesson that I want to go ahead and have with you. But in James chapter 2, we learn a simple lesson that most denominations, and I don't say it because I dislike denominations, I say it because it's a simple fact that they tear this out of the Bible. James chapter 2, they tear out of the Bible. And you're about to find out the reason why. They mostly believe in a faith only. A lot of them believe in a faith only. They believe in a heart only kind of thing. And certainly the heart is involved and is needed in order to practice truth. Spirit and truth. The spirit there is heart in John 4:22-24. But in James 2, we're going to see how something else goes along with our faith. And Christians, we know it. We know it very well. We should. What does it profit my brethren? There in verse 14, James 2. What does it profit my brethren if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him alone? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? That's a good question. Verse 17, that's also faith by itself. If it doesn't have works, it's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, a foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Why did I include that there in talking about our faith being known throughout the world? Denominations' faith are known throughout the world, aren't they? Everybody knows about the Baptists. Everybody knows about the Catholics. Everyone knows about maybe other denominations I'm forgetting to mention. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, all these different religious groups. Everybody knows about them, right? Everybody knows. They know only about the fact that they believe in a faith-only doctrine. Not all of them, but most of them believe in a faith-only kind of thing. The Baptists do especially. They believe in those things, and it doesn't go along with John 14:15. If you love Jesus, you obey His commandments. I guess we just threw that out the door. I guess we threw James 2 out the door. We have to have works like Abraham did, like Rahab did, like Moses did, like Adam did, like everyone in the Bible who is acceptable to God did. I guess we throw all that out the door. Faith without works is dead. Does it need more preaching? Do I need to preach it more, Christians? No, I don't. I hope I don't have to. I hope we're getting the point by now that belief and works, as in action, go together. The Bible says it simply, and I only put it there as a side note because faith, people know about God, but they get a perverted view of God through these denominations who try to teach man. And that's a great thing. They're trying to teach people about God and teach people about Christ. That's a great thing. They're fulfilling evangelism. That's what Jesus' commandment was, to go into all the world. But they're forgetting something. They're forgetting the commandments. They're forgetting the necessity to actually practice what God tells them to do. In Israel, would it have been okay to neglect all the sacrifices? Would it have been okay to neglect all of God's commands in the Old Testament? Did Israel do that? Yes, they did. And what happened? They were punished, weren't they? Christians, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So can we neglect God's commandments today? Absolutely not. Now that type of faith, that faith-only doctrine, is known among the world. Most people believe in that kind of thing. But Christians, what I'm getting at, the point I'm trying to make right now, is our faith, the one that goes along with works, the one that goes along with the commandments of God, as God wants it, as is the will of God, and as the New Testament teaches, is that one known throughout the world? Not as much. Not as much. Because most people don't want to do the will of God. Most people want to do all that I want to do. It's all about me, myself, and I. That's how it is for most people. That's not my fault. That's not your fault. That's just what most people choose. So Christians, is our true faith known, our true belief, our true religion unto God known, or is just the denominations known among men? These are things to consider. The Roman Church of Christ, contextually, their faith was known. People knew the Church of Christ in Rome. They knew it. They knew these brethren. And faith was, well, Paul was commending them for that. Do people know the Maryville Church of Christ? Do people know all these other churches of Christ maybe that are around us? Do people know us? Do they know our religion, our faith is the true one? Do they know that? Christians, if they don't, that's something that we need to shore up on, that we need to make sure that we're getting out there as was commanded of us in Matthew 28:18-20. So faith without works is dead. We don't need to say any more about that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's read it there. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Another thing that we need to mention, as we've mentioned that the Roman church had faith throughout the whole world known about them, is that Paul is saying here that without ceasing he was making mention of them, the Roman church, always in his prayers. Something that we tend to forget in our prayers is to pray for our Christian family. Not because only they have trials going on in their life, but just for strength, for help, to battle Satan. Deliver us from the evil one, as Jesus said in his prayer there in Matthew. Deliver us from the evil one. Help the Roman Church of Christ to be delivered from the evil one. Help the Roman Church of Christ to be strengthened today, next week. Help them in the struggle that they're going through spiritually, maybe physically. Help them in the trials they're going through. Help them with something that may happen to them. You see, there's all different ways we can pray for our Christian family. But how often do we do it? How often do we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul would practice this. Paul, same guy, he would practice this. He would practice praying for his fellow brethren. And do you notice the emphasis there? Without ceasing. Without ceasing. How often do we pray? Well, maybe one time a day when we gather around the dinner table. Shouldn't only be then. It shouldn't only be once a week. It shouldn't only be two times a week. It should be every day, multiple times a day. Why? Pray lest you be tempted, lest you be entered into temptation, as Jesus was telling His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they fell asleep, and then guess what? They did it again. And then they were delivered into temptation. They all ran away from Him as they were dragging Jesus away to crucify Him. Do you remember that? They were delivered into temptation because they didn't listen. Prayer is necessary in the armor of God. If you want to be delivered from the evil one, you have to pray. And I say this once again as we talked about prayer on Wednesday. We're having a great, great, great series on Wednesday over the five acts of worship. We've talked about singing. We've talked about prayer now. It's been amazing. And prayer, we talked about, is powerful. It's not just powerful in a physical way. Prayer is something you give to God. It's spiritually powerful. It has a spiritual power to it. It's an awesome, awesome thing that we don't take advantage of enough. Paul was taking advantage of that. Do you see that here? Without ceasing. When we're told countless times throughout the New Testament to pray without ceasing. When the churches were told countless times, the Philippians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, all these churches of Christ were told to pray without ceasing, to pray for each other. They were doing that. Were they doing that? It would help them if they would. It would help us if we would. Paul was doing that. The Corinthians should have been doing that. The Philippians should have been doing that. All these churches, they should be praying for each other. Pray without ceasing. Why? 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 God may know what we're going to ask of Him, as He says. He may already know what we're going to say. But prayer is something He wants us to do. It's kind of like the faith-only thing. Well, God knows already what I'm going to say, so I'm not even going to do it. Well, I love God, so I don't need to do anything. That's all I need to do. You see, that's a problem. We need to pray. God wants us to do things. He wants us to actually obey Him, to actually talk to Him. You think a father wants his child to talk to him? You understand you're a child of God? Do I need to go further? No, I don't. God wants us to talk to Him. We talked about all these things Wednesday night. It was a beautiful, beautiful series that we had over prayer. Christians, pray, 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 and pray again. It's necessary in the armor of God and the weaponry of God. If you use prayer, you can and will be delivered from the evil one. That is Satan. You can and will be delivered from sin. And another thing I want to mention here is in Matthew 6. Turn there with me. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. You notice what Jesus said? Your Father knows you have need of these things before you ask Him, but nonetheless, what does He still tell them to do? Go into your closet and pray. He still tells him to do that, doesn't he? He knows already what you're going to say, but still, pray. Even for your benefit, pray. Christians, we need to take advantage of that more. That's the lesson that I'm trying to get to you here. Luke 5:16. We also went over this verse in our prayer series. Luke 5:6, or 5:16 rather. Something that Jesus would do often. It's a short verse. 5:16. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Read back what it says there in verse 15. However, the report went around concerning Him all the more. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. So then He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. Often is what it says. Often. There's an emphasis there. Notice that Jesus, His human side, He needed to get off in privacy. he needed to be by himself for a while. Do we need that sometimes? I tell you, I need it. I need to be by myself sometimes. And sure, I live by myself, but as a preacher, I still need to be by myself sometimes. And after a long day, maybe of talking and maybe dealing with all different types of trials, whatever it is, maybe even joyous occasions, you need some time to yourself. We use the evenings for relaxation a lot, don't we? We use evening times. Instead of the mornings and the craziness of the day, in the evenings, that's whenever we sit down, watch TV, and then go to bed whenever we want to. That's whenever we do that. Jesus had to do that. He had to take time to himself. And you know what he was doing in that time? He was praying in that time to his Father. Who is your Father? God. What should you be doing in your free time? What should you be doing all the time? Every time you can. Every time you need to. Every time you want to. You should be praying. Praying. Take advantage of that, Christians. Your New Year's resolution, it's coming around, right? It's coming around. What's your New Year's resolution? Make one of those resolutions to pray more. Try that. Try to pray today more. Pray to your Father more. Pray to your Father tomorrow more. Make more time for God. How much time did God make for you? Ask yourself that question, and then ask yourself, your own heart, how much time you make for Him. These are challenges to our hearts, Christians. We need to take these things to heart. God is our witness when we pray. In Romans 1:9, that's what Paul there says. He says that God is our witness, not man. It's not about making man our witness. Brethren, even when you come up here to say a prayer, like this morning, whenever you pray even among your family at the dinner table, don't do it to be seen among men. Who are you talking to? Have respect for God. Have respect for your Father in heaven who created you. He deserves it. He has every right to deserve that respect, that love, as He has given first. So prayer also is an act of worship. John 4:23-24, we learn that the Father wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that means with the heart, in sincerity and genuineness, with the heart, we do acts of worship like prayer. And prayer is an act of worship, as we've been talking about Wednesdays. Prayer is an act of worship. We do it with the heart, sincerity, and we do it in truth, as the way God has commanded it. And He has commanded it to happen. So we need to pray, Christians. We need to pray. If we're not doing that, we're, of course, contradicting a commandment of God. That is something that is commanded. It was commanded among the churches. It was commanded by Jesus. It was commanded even by example from Jesus, by the apostles, by the churches. Christians, we need to pray. That's the point I'm trying to make. Romans 1:10. Let's read it together now. Making requests, if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Now, this is a very important piece of this prayer. Christians, we may not always get what we want right now. That's for the best. God knows what's best. Remember, God knows everything. He knows everything. And we may not like God right now. I tell you, I've had those moments where I don't like God right now because I'm not getting what I want right now, what I think needs to happen right now. But the problem is I don't see 2 years into the future. I don't see 10 years into the future. But you know who does? God does. He does what's best for us, Christians. He does what's best. You have to trust your Father. You have to trust your God. Romans 8:28. Just nearby is one of the best verses for us to go to, one of the most encouraging verses. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's you, Christians. All things work together for good for us. For us. Do you know that? Christians, don't let yourself be troubled. Don't let yourself get down in life, get depressed, get anxious. God is working things out for you. He's working things out for you for the best. I know you may not see that right now. I know you may not trust God right now, but you need to trust God. He's working things out for the best for you. Try to trust God. Make your resolutions. Pray more. Trust God. Make your faith known throughout the whole world. Be the example in the world. Christians, as you're coming upon this new year, try to think about these things and these verses that we're reading over, all these different verses. Ask your own heart, am I practicing the law of God? The law and the expectations and the love of God and the love of Christ. Am I practicing those things? Am I praying for my Christian family? Am I praying in general? Ask these things. A request and prayer should rather be, if it is your will, God. If it is your will. And then the request. Right? That's how it should be. Rather than, God, this is what I want. If you don't give it to me, I'm leaving the faith. It should be, rather what? If it is your will, God, so let it happen. Please let it happen. If it is your will. Respect, love for the Father who knows best. Who knows best and what's going to happen to you in 10 years when you don't. Have respect, have love, have trust in your Father. As Jesus did. The last thing that I want to get to you today, of course, 1 John 5:14-15, if you're taking notes, is another verse for this. You need to pray according to the will of God. But the last thing I want to get to you, the last few things, start there in verse 11 of Romans 1. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Do we have spiritual gifts today? No, we don't. We don't have miracles. We don't have miracles today. Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. We don't have miracles. Well, I guess God's left us. Right? No. We don't have miracles because why? Go to 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. Turn there with me. It'll tell you your answer. 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. Y'all know where I'm going. 8-10. 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will fail. These are spiritual gifts. They will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Verse 9. For we know in part and prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Did you notice what it said? The spiritual gifts are something that are in part. There's something that were done for another purpose. There's something that were done to confirm the message in the first century. When you bring about a new religion, when the Old Testament was brought about, God had to prove it. He had to prove it by all these miraculous things that He did, by the Red Sea crossing, by the Jordan River crossing, by all these different things that He did, all the plagues, all these different acts that He did. He had to confirm the message, confirm that it was Him who was giving the Mosaic Law. In the New Testament, same thing. He had to confirm that it was Him that was giving the law of Christ. He did that. That was something that was in part. Do you understand? The thing that is in full, that is complete, is right here. This is a full account, Christians. A full account of everything you need to know about God for your salvation. This is a full account to help you in your faith. A full account to help you in your beliefs. In your true law, love, belief, peace, compassion, everything concerning love and God. All of that is right in here. You know that? How often do we read it? Just like prayer. Just like coming to worship. Just like doing anything for God. Just like giving time for God in general. How often do we read this Bible? And it help us grow spiritually. Christians, these are things to think about as we come upon this new year. And not just the new year. That's a tradition, Christians. These are things to think about as we come upon a new day. As we enter into a new week, a new day. New hours of life that God has given to us. Be humble, Christians. Our lives are not our own. They're God's. Everyone needs spiritual food. Let's go back to Romans 1. Say a few more things. We'll be finished. Verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So our faith is known, number one. Our prayers made often, number two. And then also, preaching everywhere. That's the last thing I want you to notice here that Paul was doing, that the Roman Church of Christ even was doing. Their faith was known by that. So much is it in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. In verse 14, he says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians. He's a debtor to Jews and Gentiles. And he's also a debtor to who? Both to wise and to unwise. Those who are more educated in society, the kings, the queens. He's a debtor to preaching the gospel to them. And then those who are poor, those who don't know as much educationally, those on the streets, he's preaching to them the gospel. Why? Because they all need it. Because everyone needs to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the only one that can save us. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go in this life, Christians. We don't know if we're promised, we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. But what we do know is that Jesus is the way and the life. That's what we do know. Amen? Christian. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know this. People need to know this. Our faith should be known throughout the whole world. I may be young and I may seem like I'm this ambitious person. Christians, don't get so accustomed to just coming to worship and then doing nothing for the rest of the week as far as God goes. How much are we doing for God? Ask yourself that question and then reflect upon the Scriptures and what the apostles did, because they gave their lives. Because people in the first century gave their lives for Jesus. They gave everything. They gave their families for Jesus. They gave away their lives on earth for Jesus, and they're waiting in paradise, saying, Lord, how long? Will you be that too? Or will rather, when peril comes, will you just pack up your things and say, I don't know Jesus, like Peter did. Remember, he denied him three times. You just say, I don't know Jesus, and walk away. Christians, these are things to think about. Encouragements that I make to you this morning, challenges that I make to you this morning. Paul longed to see the Roman church to help them spiritually. That spiritual gift he's talking about is a miraculous thing. And as well, Paul was preaching to everyone regardless of their physical or spiritual state. He preached to fellow Christians. He preached to the world, Jews and Gentiles. He preached to the best, the brightest, the simplest, and the not as loud, the quietest. He preached even to spiritually strong Christians like the Roman Church of Christ. Even though it may not seem like they need it, they need it. Everyone who is even strong as a Christian, they need spiritual food. Just because you're older, just because you know so much from the Scriptures, doesn't mean you don't need spiritual food always. Christians, these are things we need to take to heart here this morning. This apostle did understand that everyone does need spiritual food, and you should understand that too, and I should understand that. Make sure you're getting it every single day by prayer, by reading the Bible, by focusing on being the example of Christ, by being light in the dark world that surrounds us. Make sure that that's happening in your life. If it's not happening, there's a problem with your heart, Christians. If you're coming to worship and you're not doing anything with Christ the rest of the week, that's a problem, because it's a 24/7 daily effort to live for Christ. So that dying can be gain, as Paul said. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Is that the case for you? If you died right now, would it be gain for you because you live for Christ on a daily? If you're not living for Christ on a daily, that is something you need to correct right now. That is a dangerous thing, Christians. It would be a dangerous thing for me if I was to do that. How much time do we give to God? Faith known throughout the world. Prayers made often for each other, for our brethren. And preaching everywhere. The Great Commission must be fulfilled. That is law. Christians, if you have any troubles this morning, if you need prayers for encouragement, which we've just talked about, praying for each other, if you need prayers in any way, for family, for yourself, I encourage you and I plead to you, please come to the front and let us help you. Please, let us help you. If you're struggling spiritually, physically, whatever it is, let us help you this morning. Let us help you. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved, and Acts 4:12 tells us that's only by Jesus. There's no other name under heaven, give it among men, by which we can be saved, by which we can inherit paradise. It's not here on this earth that we get paradise in heaven. Christians, friends, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Today is the day of salvation. Hear the word of God, and you've heard it today. believe Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that, you'd be willing to confess it. Confess that Jesus is the Christ among men. That's commanded. You have to do that. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. Repent of your former life, your former transgressions against God, against the light. Repent of the evil life that you were once living. And as well, you must be baptized, immersed into water, so that you can be washed clean of all sins that you have ever done in your life. Because Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, every one of us, the older, the younger, every one of us, the ones who are kings, the ones who are poor. It doesn't matter your status in life. Every one of us has sinned. Humble yourself. And I need to humble myself. Let us humble ourselves today, Christians, friends. If you're not a Christian, make that happen today. I encourage you, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, make that confession, be baptized, remain faithful unto death, Christians, and you will inherit the crown of life. If you have a need this morning, please do come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? What will your